Blog Talk Radio.
If you have... Yes, I will have you so smart that you can tie them around your finger.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Nothing But Elijah, a Crow Media production. Brothers and sisters, I'm so happy that you all are joining us today. My name is Brother Jamil Muhammad, and I am your host today. This broadcast, again, is brought to you by Crow, the Coalition for the Remembrance of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the organization dedicated to preserving the name, the accomplishments, and the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, located in the great city of Chicago, Illinois, at 2435 West 71st Street. And today, brothers and sisters, the newly named Munir Muhammad Way. We will be having more discussion about that as we go into this broadcast. If you want to learn more about Crow or to make a donation or to just support us, please visit us online at www.crowcroe.org and make sure, please, to click on the link to Crow Media where you can find out information on our signature television programs, Muhammad and Friends and the Munir Muhammad Show, and also the time as far as our Crow Radio broadcast that we have as well. And of course, just Crow Radio that streams the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad 24/7. Brothers and sisters, I am very honored today to be joined by my sister, Dr. Ajina Mushira Muhammad, the daughter of Brother Munir Muhammad. And today we witnessed a great, great honor with the help of Alderman David Moore of the 17th Ward. The street, a portion of the street outside of Crow, was named Munir Muhammad Way, an honor bestowed upon my father, the co-founder and business manager of Crow, who departed this world on July 9th of 2019. And brothers and sisters, the last 1,720 days since his departure, we have felt it very much, but today we were very happy that he was honored in such a way. And to help me in this conversation, I'd like to present my sister, Dr. Ajina Mushira Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Good. I appreciate you joining us on this show. And you are there today. I love to just get your overall feeling about today's ceremony. I enjoyed seeing so many people out to join in honoring and recognizing the accomplishments of our father. But tell me, how did you feel today? And share your thoughts.
Sure. Well, I felt a great sense of pride, first of all, in listening to Alderman David Moore of the 17th Ward speak and talk about specifically the fact that by unanimous decision, the Chicago City Council voted to pass an ordinance for the name changing in honor of our father. It's something that I'm extremely proud of because it is evident that he made a significant impact here in Chicago, but as we know, also across the country. And to have that honor bestowed upon our father just 3 days before what would have been his 74th birthday is one that very proud of. It's also another act of showing that his name will continue to live on for the work that he did for well over 40 years. And so just a very proud moment. I was happy that my children were here to witness this as well because, you know, I think you mentioned, I don't recall the year right now, if it was 1996 when we had the honorary name signing for Crow Lane. Of course, they weren't thought of at that time, but I remember being there during that time for Crow Lane and what a proud moment that was, you know, for me to see the work that our father put in to have that name changing as well, but for it to be a full circle moment to be able to have our children there, family and friends to come and witness the unveiling of Munir Muhammad Way was just a very proud moment.
Yes, it was very special, and that street naming that you referred to, yes, that was November 30th of 1996, within Alderman Virgil Jones assisting with that was such a great accomplishment for the organization itself. And this one, you know, honoring my father in name based on his effort, commitment, and the results, and his impact, you know, is special. And it's always great when we have an opportunity to remind people that, as you say best, you know, you share your father with the world, but he was a father, he was a dad, a husband, you know, and the tutelage that he gave and the example and the lessons, you know, were received. And he's known for his teachable moments, not only with us, but with everyone. And so today to have people, not only people who've been impacted and affected by him in the space of Crow, but family, friends, neighbors who may not have known him intimately, however, they observed him and knew of him and still show that honor and respect of joining us today. And that was very telling in itself. And it also lets you know, how long we've been on the planet ourselves. And, you know, speaking of that, you know, our mother, Sister Amina Muhammad, of course, made the request to Alderman Moore, and it was nice to see her wish fulfilled today and for her to have an opportunity to share some things with the audience as well. And tell me, what were your thoughts in hearing, you know, our mother just kind of recount her support in the journey as well?
Yes, you know, she has witnessed a lot and was, of course, a partner of our father for well over 50 years. And the work that our father was involved in, of course, she was very supportive of it. of his work. And just listening to her recount some of those historical moments where they took, you know, the different road trips across the country, chronicling the history, it just shows the work that can be done when you have a supportive partner, but more importantly, when you have someone who has a vision and who has the ability to lead. Because oftentimes, you know, you can have someone who is attempting to lead, but if they have a partner who's constantly questioning their decisions, and that is something that I think in her talk and what we've seen over the years, that she allowed, for lack of a better word, our father to lead in the way that he saw best, never questioning some of the decisions, and that just shows his strength, I think, as a leader, as a husband. And so to see her have her wish fulfilled in terms of us being able to pay tribute to our father by way of the street naming, I think was something that she can be proud of, and something that she desired, and I'm glad to see it all come into being.
Yeah, it does speak to, you know, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that we have to qualify ourselves for leadership. And certainly our father did that, but support is so essential when you're trying to do great work, when your work is in service as well. Mm-hmm. And we know that support looks different to so many people. However, in this case, the consistency, you, as you stated, you know, had been together well over 50 years, and father departed prior to their 49th wedding anniversary. And, you know, it shows the longevity, the consistency of the journey as well. And I was very pleased for her to express for herself what this meant and what this means to her. You know, mm-hmm. I was very appreciative of the guests that were in attendance. And, you know, it was people from all walks of life, right? And so when we look at that in particular, you know, our father had many relationships, just as the word has many connections. And I think that one of the things that I admire about him and pride myself on is being relatable and able to interact and have relationships with people regardless of their circumstances. In an ability to identify talent, learn, share information, or whatever it is the basis of the relationship, but it is a gift that many people aren't blessed with, but those of us who are have to understand the importance of that. You know, you also personally received an honor this past Friday as being named one of the Chicago Defenders Women of Excellence for 2024. And, you know, mm-hmm. as we both, are members and supportive and probably active in CRO, you and I both went out into a professional space and mm-hmm. had accomplished things independently, which I always looked at as a testimony, not only our parents, but the reality that with these teachings that, you know, you can accomplish anything, right? You can, you don't have to be scared to be yourself outside of the sanctuary of Crow or outside of the house, or just because if you're a follower of the Most Honored Elijah Muhammad, you don't have to have that fear. And I want you to share from your perspective your professional journey and the inspiration that you took from our father, who was an entrepreneur at heart, right? And so just talk about the lessons or inspiration that you drew from him, even in your professional space.
Sure. Well, as you know, I've worked in the area of public service, specifically education, for well over, it's been about 25 years now, if I do the math. And I have worked in an area where I've always had to help people in some way, whether it was when I worked for the Cook County Sheriff's Department and the Child Support Division and the Youth Services Division, or for Chicago Public Schools, where I had held various positions. I was always placed in a role that required me to conduct some type of outreach, collaborate, support, connect people to various resources. And now working at the University of Illinois Chicago, that still has not changed, whereas my focus is ensuring that students, specifically Black students, are able to matriculate through the university successfully. And I'm often reminded of our father's talks where he stressed the importance of education, but also to he talked about getting an education or earning a degree simply is demonstrating that you have the ability to not only be trained, but staying focused. So I kind of extract some of those lessons when I am talking to students at UIC, trying to make sure that they're on the right track and sharing some of the lessons and some of my own experiences as being, you know, a first-generation college student, as I try to connect with students at UIC. I view my responsibility and my purpose there is, again, to make sure that I'm connecting our Black students in particular to the resources that they need, making sure that they're in rooms that they may not otherwise have been invited to be in, because that is something that I feel that our father did not only for us, but for other people as well. He didn't take a back seat to anyone. He oftentimes showed up at various places and acted as if and functioned as if he, you know, there shouldn't be a question as to whether or not he belonged there. And I try to take on, you know, some of those characteristics in various situations, but trying to instill a level of confidence into the students that I come across every day. For me and my, as far as my work is concerned, I know that in the arena that I am in, where there are very few Black women in senior administrative roles in higher education, it's already challenging enough as it is, but I want those students, those Black students who are at UIC, when they see me, to know that I am accessible, that, you know, I am there to help, but I also want to serve as an inspiration to them, to help them stay motivated and stay on stay on track. And so when I talk to my students, you know, I'm talking to them about the various obstacles that they will face, but they should not be deterred. And many times those are some of the conversations that I had with our father, you know, telling me not to take a back seat to anybody. Just the sheer fact that I wear the name Muhammad alone should command a certain level of respect, but you also have to live up to that name. So, you know, just being able to provide support and resources for students who otherwise, you know, may not know how to access certain resources is something that I find of great importance, and it's something that I believe our father did in his own way as well, because he definitely was a connector for so many people. He got people in rooms that they would not have been able to get in on their own. And we have people who will testify to that today. There's not a day that goes by if I'm in certain at certain events where I come across people who knew our father, that they are sharing with me how much they miss him and how supportive he was of them and how he helped them in some way, shape, fashion, or form. And I think that that was something that he instilled in us as well, in terms of, you know, being someone who is able to give and to be of service of others. Now, he didn't want us to be taken for granted, just as he didn't want to be taken for granted. But I think when you develop and you mature and you gain a better understanding of what that really means to be of service of others, you can see it from a different vantage point versus I can remember younger kind of questioning, you know, why is it so important, you know, to help other people so much, you know. But those questions as I got older, you know, have subsided because I gained a clearer understanding of what that means.
Yeah, I think that when we talk about servant leadership and that the ability to, you know, see the value and, you know, saying we can all be great because we all can serve, right? And so when you understand those things, and we, you know, we've had a ready-made example, and we understand that, you know, and we've said this, that we have to be in a space that there are expectations, right? There are things that we need to do, that we're expected to do based off of the things that we've benefited from, you know. And so I believe that really is something that we both understand. We both try to, I'm not going to say try, we both exemplify on a consistent basis, because that's really all that we know. You know, as we begin to wind down in the next 6 minutes or so, you know, I realized that, you know, as we talked about the service and what our father meant to so many, we spoke about our mother, and then spoke about the influence, and, you know, we talk about professionally and the inspiration that we've drawn from our father. And, you know, since there's a period behind his name, if there's one thing, if you were forced to break it down, that you would want him to be remembered for, one attribute, what would it be?
That's a really good question. I would say there are so many different adjectives and attributes that come mm-hmm. to mind. That it's hard to pick just one. But what comes to mind the most is defender. He was a defender of truth, and he upheld the truth. But in particular, I think that he can be considered the greatest defender of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he did that until the day that he departed.
Yeah, I think the defense of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad was his, not only his gift, it was his calling. It was destiny, mm-hmm. if you will. And, you know, the weight of that responsibility, what it required of him to be effective and great was a weight and, for lack of a better term, a burden that many people could not carry, especially mm-hmm. when you take into consideration where he started from. You know, he was not an officer or held a ranking position in the Nation of Islam. He was a young man from Brighton, Alabama, with someone that did not grow up being familiar with the Nation of Islam. You know, he said that they came up here, they used to call them freedom runners, you know, running to the city mm-hmm. of Chicago, you know, when the people right. moved there. But he, at a time when they were happy with the trajectory of their life, you know, based on their understanding at that point, in 1972 was introduced to the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And from that point, every member, it's about in our immediate family, ended up accepting Islam. It's taught by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And, you know, we often talk not necessarily only about the 16 surahs we entitled the B, talk about the B.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the behaviors and attributes of that B. And we liken it to our father, Brother Munir Muhammad, who went out into this world in search of the best of information, the best of talent, the best of resources, likened to how the bee goes out in search of the best nectar from each flower. And from those sources, our father would take those resources, those talents, those gifts, that information, and bring it back to the greater community so that we all can benefit and be better. Mm-hmm. And that exemplifies who he was, why he was so effective, why he touched so many, and it served as a blueprint of what should be required and expected of all of us who have been blessed and affected by him. And so I thank you for joining for this abbreviated 30-minute show. And happy not only for your success, but the blessings that we both received from not only our brother Munir Muhammad as our father, but our mother, sister Amina Muhammad. And so may Allah continue to bless you, my sister Gina, and may Allah continue to bless you all in our listening audience. And I leave you as I greeted you in the greetings of peace and paradise, brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum, and we will see you next week.